play.
Sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS Podcast, previewing the 2022 Sony Open from wonderful Wailea Country Club in Hawaii. You can find the podcast on Twitter at AlwaysPressDFS. I am on Twitter at BDentric, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well. Another fun week of football in the books, golf in the books. Did you get to watch any of it this week?
I watched a lot of it Friday. It's Thursday, Friday. I watched quite a bit of it because it was on a really good time. And then I didn't watch much over the weekend. I didn't really have a very good lineup. My initial one had Cam Smith, of course, in it with Cantlay. But I decided I was going to swap off of that and you know, Galaxy Brain some shit. So it didn't go well. It's just... I just said I was surprised at how low John Rahm was.
Owned. Yeah, I was very happy with that.
I fully expected him to be 20 plus, and he was like, I was just in one single entry, and it was 12%.
Yeah,
I would take that all day long with John Rahm.
Yeah, and the three max, he was like, I think he's 15 or 16% that I was in. It's because everyone was going JT. They all went JT.
He was
got hammered before Saturday. That was
we were looking good, weren't we?
Yeah. Yeah, looking real good. But I had Smith and Rahm in almost every lineup I had. But I did okay, but the pairings didn't end up being probably no Matt Jones. So that didn't pan out.
He was the thing about no cut. If you literally, if you don't almost hit the nuts, like it's even hard to cash.
Yeah, I had 750 or 60 points DK wise, and the winner had like 900.
Yeah.
So like my lineup's cashed, but it was like men cashing.
Right.
So
it was
craziness, but that's it's the beauty of the no cut, as we talk about all the time. That's why I said I'm taking it easy. I'm gonna play a couple lineups, wait for this week for the Sony. But we talked about how much primetime was awesome. I didn't get to watch a ton. I just kind of watched it in the distance on Thursday and Friday. But Saturday, the family was gone, so I had the house to myself, and I turned on the entire day of the century, watching JT go off for a 61. I was like, okay, cool day. Well, it's been fun. Watching Rahm versus Cam Smith was like pay-per-view heavyweight boxing going back and forth. It was some of the best TV I've seen. We played Skins at their club on Sunday. Everyone was talking about it. Like, it was just one of the coolest back and forth. Rahm 61. I think Smith shot like a 62 or 63. Matt Jones even shot a 62. Like
61. He shot 61 on Sunday. But he 62-61 over the weekend.
Whew. Yeah, it was a wild one. A wild Saturday was some insane television. Morikawa had a big Sunday, so
yeah,
lots of birdies.
Yeah, that was I think the perfect storm for that course. No wind, very soft, lift clean in place the first 2 days.
Yep.
I mean, you give guys 100-yard wide fairways on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, pick it apart.
Yeah, just go ahead and just mail it in. I mean, dude, you shoot 20 under and finish 15th.
Yeah, I think Joel Dahman played well, but very well. But he tweeted out, apparently I'm not as good of a birdie maker as I thought it was. Need to improve my game. And he played well. Like, it was craziness. There was the course or the PGA record for the lowest score in a 72-hole event. I think I saw Smith had 33 birdies and 5 eagles or something like that. Some crazy number. I don't know if I get 33 birdies in a year. I think I do, but we're probably pushing the envelope there type situation. So it was fun to watch. We get prime time again this week, which would be pretty darn cool.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'll probably get 33, but I also play a golf course that's like, you know, 4,000 yards. So
yeah, and you're also a lot better player than I am.
Well, so but you can make 33 if you play this golf course too. It's easy, but yeah, I mean, it's just a nutty. I don't even know how to explain it, man. Like, my wife walked in and I was watching the last hole, and you know, they were 33 and 32 under coming in. And I said, this is just a 4-day tournament, by the way. This is not a 5 or 6 day tournament.
Yeah.
You know,
it's one of those, I enjoyed it from a viewing perspective, but it's one of those tournaments. If this was a cut event, I would have been furious because the cut line would have been through the roof, and you would have had guys like JT would have missed the cut, but then look where he finished type things. Like, it needed to be a no cut event. So, yeah, it was cool, but this week we get the Sony Open, which usually has a cut line much, much lower and an overall finish much, much lower. But we'll see how that goes. So why don't you hit us with some past event history, which there's plenty of.
Yeah. For obviously last year, 2021, Kevin Na was the winner, 21 under, one shot over Chris Kirk and Joaquin Niemann. 2020 winner was Cam Smith, 11 under in a playoff over Brendan Steele. 2019, Matt Kuchar, 22 under, four shots over Andrew Putnam. 2018 was Patton Kizzire's year, 17 under, playoff over James Hahn. 2017 was when JT won the century and then went and won this, shooting, I think he shot 59 the first day or maybe 58. And he finished 27 under and won by seven shots over Justin Rose. Jimmy Walker used to win this event every year for a couple of years. Russell Henley's the past winner. Ryan Palmer's won this in the past. Zach Johnson, he might be in the field. I don't know. He's won this in the past.
Yep, he will be here. But it's the Wiley Country Club, as we mentioned earlier, and it's a par 70, 7,044 yards, so a lot smaller than last week's par 73. And it's a lot trickier compared to – it's still scoreable, a lot trickier. Four par threes, 12 par fours, and only two par fives compared to last week's par five bonanza. Both these par fives are very short, very gettable in two. The birdie rates are basically 50% or more on the par fives. So I don't know if you really need to rate par five scoring much, because I basically say if you're not birdieing the par fives, you're already way behind the eight ball in this tournament compared to other ones. That'd be the best way I could put it. Otherwise, it's more of a bogey avoidance fest, because – the par threes are very gettable and a couple par fours, but overall, most, if you go off like Fantasy National, most of the birdie rates are like less than 20% on these. Most are like less than 15%, which tells you a lot about how this course plays out. A lot more pars and bogey avoidance on these courses. Last week, we had the wide, wide fairways, as you talked about, big, big greens. Not so much this week. One of the more narrow groupings of fairways on tour, small, small greens. They still are Bermuda, which we've seen this last time. The rough isn't super penal initially, but then as you get to like the secondary and tertiary cuts of rough, it becomes much more difficult to get things done. Like we were joking beforehand that, well, Bryson pulled out, but it doesn't feel like a course for him, but he's actually done well on shorter courses. And I guess it's if you bomb it enough, it doesn't matter what kind of rough you're in, you're fine. Where these other guys, if you're still like 150 out or something, it could be trouble. So big thing you're looking for is more accuracy involved here. Your short game, because you're not going to hit all the greens as you like. So you're going to scramble and avoid those bogeys. And I would say a good like par four scoring would be quite important. Those are some of the things I put into my model. But as a whole, you're going to have to get those par fives and then get to the weekend and run hot. Because as long as it's not too windy, you'll still get some pretty decent scores here. Like high teens, low 20s. So, and then if you look at comp courses, if you just think about the location of the place and the size of the course, a lot of like those harbor towns, the Punta Canas, all those kind of courses, Pebble, you'll get a lot of those kind of things as well. What kind of stats are you looking at this week, Jesse?
Yeah, tee to green and approach obviously matters every week, but on this particular golf course, off the tee is not a huge, as huge of a factor. Greens and regulation. And then lots of course history, man. I mean, this is a good tournament for that. The big issue that I have with this tournament is if you look at stats, especially recent ones, I mean, most guys besides last week don't have stats for like a month at least. Mm-hmm. So it becomes difficult from that perspective to try to judge, you know, what to weigh or what even if it matters. But so that's why I lean quite a bit on course history this week.
And it's a good one for course history. Data Golf has it as one of the more important course history, or more, I guess, more true to form course history backs up the performance at this golf course, if that makes sense to anybody out there. So that's definitely one thing to look at. You can look at guys that have fared well here, fared well coming in. One thing I looked at on Fantasy National is just there's a past event, like a past history of this, and it shows the strokes gained total at this golf course for the last 5 years. You can see some guys have just crushed this place, absolutely destroyed this golf course. Other guys, they struggled, and the results definitely show it. So something else to keep in mind as well. But before we get going with the DraftKings picks, as always, fansharesports.com will get you 20% off the package of your choice if you use promo code ALWAYSPRESS. A lot of great tools over there. They're writing more and more content. So lots of cool stuff at fansharesports.com. Just a couple things I used. You can use all kinds of different factors to get some names to pop. But I mentioned like those seaside golf courses, like this one is the last six events when it comes to DraftKings scoring in this field. You got Cam Smith leading the way, followed by Matt McNeely, Webb Simpson, Taylor Gooch, Sung Jae-im, and Billy Horschel. And then if you look at the last six events on par 77,000 to 7,200 yards, you got Webb Simpson, Kevin Kisner, Kevin Na, Jim Herman, Russell Henley, Hideki Matsuyama, and Zach Johnson as a couple others to lead the way for you in this one. All right, without any further ado, Jesse, let's get popping with the DraftKings picks of the week. Let's check out 10K and above, where we got six golfers. Cam Smith is at 11-2. We have five now. I forgot. Hideki's at 10-6. Webb's 10-5. Sungjae's 10-3. And Mark Leishman is 10,000. Who you liking in this one?
Yeah, I mean, start up top with Cam Smith. It's hard to argue against him. I just wonder how popular it'll be, I guess is my question. Obviously, last week, 30% at 8,300. Huge price increase, completely different golf course, different field. He reminds me, though, of, like, obviously he's won here just a couple of years ago. He reminds me kind of JT. I'm not saying he's as good as JT, although one could maybe start to argue that. In the respect that he just pretty much dominated that golf course. Obviously, Rahm did too, but he's not in this field, so it doesn't matter. But long story short, I like Cam Smith quite a bit. Again, I just don't know how popular he'll be, because at 11-2, you know, he's got to win in order to pay off pretty much, or at least get inside the top probably about three. But I do like him quite a bit. Hideki looked good last week. He, had it going with the irons there for the first couple rounds and then kind of fell off there on the weekend, but has played here quite a bit. 19th, 12th, 51st, and 27th in his last four starts at this golf course. Webb, I mean, you talk about chalk. I was looking back last year, and Webb last year was less as far as his price goes. He was 11,100, and he was 20% owned. You think it's over under 25 this year?
Ooh, I'm going to go over.
Yeah,
because just everything you look at points to you have to play Webb. And everyone's that I've heard two things so far, and they've all said Webb.
Coming off an eighth place finish at the RSM, 14th at the CJ Cup. His last three finishes here are fourth, third, and fourth.
Pretty good.
He hasn't finished outside the top 20 at this golf course since 2013. So
pretty good.
I mean, yeah, and he's getting his form back, which he really kind of lost a little bit last year. Didn't have a great year. From just a perspective of what you really kind of think, Webb, I mean, didn't have a win. He was in the Tournament of Champions this time last year. So, you know, I don't know, man. Like, I don't like playing Webb Simpson. I don't like playing Webb Simpson over 25%, but it's hard not to. And then Mark Leishman at 10,000. Really good course history, fourth, 28th, third in his last three starts here. And he's just been playing really solid golf, hasn't missed a cut since the British Open back in July, and has a bunch of top tens in there. So I think he'll be popular too, but I do have one pivot off of him coming up.
Yeah, and I believe it's 15 of the last 16 winners here all played in the century the week before. So keep that in mind. There's a lot to be said about kind of getting your legs beneath you, and these guys had four rounds to do it in Hawaii already. So you're going to see some of those guys get pushed up more than usual. So maybe it makes Webb go a little lower. I doubt it. He's fifth in my model. You mentioned all the good stuff about him. Just like the last four years he played here, he gained over 36 strokes gained total in four tournaments. So over the last 5 years, it counts all 5 years, he leads everybody in this field. So that's a pretty strong resume for only playing in four of the five events. So I like Webb. There's no denying it. It's going to be chalk. It'll be fun to see where you can differentiate, how much is too much. That'll be fun to see the ownership game as we play out the week. I like Hideki as a great pivot. He's always low owned. You know, he's only 37th in my model, but he's one of those guys that's very, very solid off the tee, hitting fairways, one of the better approach games. You mentioned his irons plays looked really, really good last week. He's played great at this tournament, gaining strokes all over the place. And that 13th place last week, the first of the Zozo. So, you know, he had a break in between those tournaments, but His form looks pretty darn good right now, so I think he's a nice low-owned play if you want to go here. I have no problem with Cam Smith, but as of right now, I'm going to fade Cam Smith and cross my fingers. If people listened last week, I was all in on Cam Smith. I loved Cam Smith. I wanted all the Cam Smith, and I did, and it worked out well. But this is one of those things that he was priced appropriately last week. He got a massive price bump. Could he win? Sure, but winning back-to-back weeks, we all know, is very, very difficult. As Jesse mentioned, to pay this price off, you have to win. And so it's just kind of a game theory play where I will fade this and see where it goes. Sungjae ranks third in my model. He's very, very intriguing. 56, 21st, 16th, his last three events here. And he's coming off a T8 last week, T19 at the Houston Open. Maybe Sungjae's getting going as well. More of a birdie fest event. It's like not going to be 30 under, but still 20 under is considered a birdie fest, at least it used to be back in the day. So that favors Sungjae quite a bit. And I love the Leishman call. I'm really wondering how chalky he is, because I think it's a great call. Right behind Webb in strokes gain total in this field is one guy we'll talk about in a little bit, and then Mark Leishman, almost 34 strokes gain. You mentioned the T4, T28, T3. He's been playing phenomenal golf at this golf course, and I think he's a great, great play on this one, playing last week at Century. We'll see how chalky he is. So you have some pivots in this range, then you have the Simpson Leishman chalk, which will be very intriguing. But as usual, you can differentiate elsewhere if you really believe in these guys being the guys, because the W goes a long, long ways. 9K range, Jesse, we got Kevin Knott, 99, Answer, 97, Connors, 96, English, 93, Gooch, 91. You could literally start here if you felt like it.
Yeah. And I think if you do, especially with Kevin Knott, $9,900, I think you'll be different. Obviously, the defending champion here. He did miss the cut back in 2018, but 36th, 28th, 64th, 8th before that. And he finished 13th last week. I did not have him as a guy that would do well at that golf course, especially in wet conditions, but he's a good putter. And that's pretty much what last week was who could make the most putts. So if it's kind of similar, over in Honolulu, then I like his chances. And I don't think that nobody ever plays Kevin Na. He was like the only time he's been above about 15% in the last year. Well, yeah, pretty much in the last year was at the Fortnite, and he missed the cut. So people don't like playing him. I mean, for whatever reason, but at $9,900, I think if you start there, I think he's going to be low on this week. And then Corey Connors at 9,600, 12th and 39th in his last two appearances here. He did not play here last year, but he did in 2020 when he finished 12th and hasn't missed a cut since July. A bunch of top 20s in there. Hypothetically speaking, if he can make some putts just like every week, this course should be good for him.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. I think Na's a very interesting pivot. I agree with you there. 13th last week, he was part of the CBE winner over there. It wasn't with Leash. Leash was always a Cam Smith, but Kokrak, I think, wasn't it? Kokrak and Na. Yeah. So playing good golf. I don't know how much I'll have of him, but I agree with your thought process there for sure. Answer is an interesting one because I think he kind of gets overlooked in this range as well, because everyone's going to want Corey Connors. I want Corey Connors. He's first in my model. He's one of the better iron players on tour. He's a good bogey avoider for the most part, but like proximities, you're looking for your approach shot. He ranks in the top 10, par 4 scoring. He's 6th in this field. He's still 8th in DK, 9th in fairways game. Like he's everything you want on this golf course. He's played great at this golf course, as you were mentioning as well. T12, T3, T39 is pretty good in three events. So I like Connors a lot. Again, another popular play. English would be a great pivot. He doesn't rank out good in my model at all. But he's coming off that T30 last week, which ideally is not good in a 39-man field. But a guy that's played decent in this field and finished the year on a better note. So I'm not on English right now, but if you're looking for a pivot, ownership-wise, he's going to come in virtually unowned. If I'm not playing Corey Connors, I want Taylor Gooch. Probably going to be popular as well. I had a lot of Gooch with my Cam Smith last week. He's 6th in my model. He's 4th on approach, 9th in bogey avoidance, 4th in greens and reg, 10th in par 4 scoring, 3rd in DK scoring over the last 24 events in this field, coming in really, really good form. So I like Taylor Gooch quite a bit. I could see myself starting off with like a Connors-Gooch combo or using one of those guys, one of the 10K guys, and going from there. But definitely a couple guys I really, really like in this one. 8K range. You got Kiz, Horschel, Kokrak, Henley, Matty Jones. Curious to see that ownership. McNeely, EVR, Seamus Power, Cam Davis, and CH3.
I mean, there's a lot of course history in here. Like, just for example, with Kevin Kisner, 32nd, 4th, 69th, 25th, 4th, 5th. Hasn't missed a cut here since 2015. Played last week, finished in the top 10. Another guy who, like, if I look at that golf course, and if you look at the golf course over the years, you know what I mean? Like, Kevin's not a long ball hitter, and that's typically who does well at Plantation, but he's obviously had some success at Wailea here too. So eighth place finish here last week. And like I said, last year's 32nd. So I think he's fine. Horschel at 87, seventh here last year. 23rd last week, not great. But he hasn't missed a cut since the U.S. Open back in June. Does have a win in there. It was over on the European Tour, but still a win. Just solid. It's hard to argue against a lot of these dudes. Russell Henley is going to be really popular. I do have him checked off just simply because, I mean, the model likes him. You know, he's played really well of late, 22nd, 7th, 56th in his last three starts. His course history is weird, though, to me. It's, you know, 11th miscut, 66th miscut, miscut, 13th miscut, 17th. I think he had a win maybe the year before that. Matt Jones showed up really well. Hasn't missed a cut here since 2011. Seamus Power at 8,100. I mean, I think he's going to be more popular than what I really want to play. And so I'd rather go to CH3 at 8,000. He hasn't missed a cut here at least since 2015. Three straight made cuts on tour. This is the time when we usually play Charles Howell every year. And it's because it's kind of the West Coast swing. I know we're not necessarily on the West Coast yet, but
he's getting loose for it.
This is the far West Coast.
Rounds. It's his tune-up rounds for the West Coast. He hasn't hit the POA yet. That's where he really gets to kicking.
Right.
But, yeah, I get it for sure. Kisner's a fun one because he rates out horribly in every stat, basically, I look at outside of fairways gained. But that's because he's been playing a lot of tough courses. If you think about the end of the year, those are all big boy courses, and that's not Kis's wheelhouse, as you said. I felt bad watching him because he kept, like, getting birdies and playing well, and every time, like, the announcer, like, oh, he's playing great because he admits he can't play on big courses and, like, all these things over and over again. I'm like, just tell him he did good. He got a goddamn birdie again. Like, Jesus, like, he's contending, like, for him. So get over it. So he's interesting for me. Like you mentioned, he's played really well here. He plays great at the comp courses, these shorter coastal courses like Harbortown and Pebble and everything. He's played really well at those kind of venues. So I'm really interesting to see you're going to get him low on, let's put it that way. So I'm kind of curious because he looks horrible in my model, but it's one of those, do you trust the course history and the layout more than the stats? That's kind of one of the things to think about. Same with Billy Ho. I think he's interesting. We talked about him last week that, like, most models aren't going to like him a lot because most of the stats are from Europe, and those aren't on your models. And he's playing great in Europe, played decent last week, another place that fits him very well. I'm like you. I checked off Russell Henley. He's fourth in my model. It's like, if I'm going to play a popular guy, I don't know if it's going to be Russell Henley. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I like to not play him when he's popular.
So,
and he always, like, just bucks me, so.
I'm with you. So, like, I'm pretty sure I'll be off of Russell Henley, but I at least wanted to bring him up like you did, that he rates out really well. It's just, there's chalk to play, there's chalk not to play. And for me, Russell Henley's probably chalk not to play.
Right.
I think Matty Jones is interesting as well. See if he can ride that hot trick. You mentioned made every cut since 2011, which is pretty freaking wild, and he might actually go overlooked here, surprisingly, because Henley will be popular and everyone's talking about Matt McNeely. So those are two interesting type deals. McNeely does rate out pretty well, but man, I'm not checking that box right now. I'll miss that bus if I have to. I'd rather play Seamus Power. Again, he'll probably be more popular than he should be. He's 15th in my model. I was all over him last week. I've been playing him a lot in the fall swing. Big time DK score, great greens and red, great bogey avoidance, good par four score. This place fits his game really, really well. So I like him at 8,100 bucks. Hope it kind of gets overlooked. Also don't mind the Cam Davis. You loved him last week. You played very well. Kind of ride that hot streak into this week at 8,000. So these are some pivots you can make. Just play the ownership game down here. Or if you're multi-entering, get little sprinkles of it, like Power, Davis, and I like the CH3 call. He's 41st in my model, 5th in bogey avoidance, 5th off the tee. I mentioned those Strokes gang guys. He's second behind Webb Simpson over the last 5 years, right before Mark Leishman. Hal's gained 35.47 strokes. Webb's gained 36.43. You mentioned the T19, T12, T8, T32, T8. Plays quite well at this golf course. And surprisingly, with Mr. Hal, who was kind of scuffling a bit, 16th at the RSM, 33rd at Mayakoba. He's 8K. Like, he's starting to maybe get it going again, because there was a while there. It wasn't even just West Coast Hal. Hal was balling for a while there. Maybe we're going to start getting – maybe he was hurt. We just didn't know it. That happens a lot. So 8,000 for CH3, a potentially lower ownership. I'm with you there. I think that's a very, very, very good one to plant your flag on for sure. Okay, 75 to 79. We got Kirk Steele, Ryan Palmer, Bezenhout, Siwoo, Aaron Rye, Joel Dahman, Keith Mitchell, Tom Hoagie, Matt Kuchar, Brian Harman, and Brendan Todd.
For me, you start up top there with Brendan Steele. Brendan Steele should have won this golf tournament the last 2 years.
Yep.
And just shit all over himself coming down 18 both years.
Still remember us talking about the remember the old shot behind the grandstands, how to play. Yeah. There's no fans.
He fucking just, I've never seen
from another tee box
a pull hook like that from a professional. Like, I've seen it because I've hit it.
Yeah, we do those things. Not a professional.
That was something else. Yeah, and then was it last year when he did that?
I think that one was 2 years ago. It feels like
okay. That yeah, it's like so. Brendan Steele, 7,900. Yes. Bezenhout at 78. He's never played here. He's a guy that we talk about quite a bit. He did miss the cut at the Houston Open, but then came back to the on the European Tour and made the cut there. He hasn't played since November. He's just a guy, I think, who has a high ceiling. Joel Dahman at 7,600. He played pretty well last week. Did you see the video of him riding in the van with the dude? And the dude telling him, him and his caddy, like, where to sit and like how to get to 18 and find a good seat and get there early. And
I'm gonna have to go check that out. No, I follow a lot of Joel's stuff because I find
his caddy, like, tweeted it out. So it's pretty funny. Like, they're just riding along and this guy's telling them about how, just giving them tips on basically how to get to 18 early. It's that way you get a good seat. That's and you can watch funny. The guys come up.
That's funny.
12th, 22nd, and 73rd in his last three appearances here. He did not play here last year, but he did play in 2020. And that's it for me above 75.
I like Brendan Steele. I think he's going to be popular. I'm with you. He's 16th in my model, so I'll be looking at Steele. If you want to go course history over recent form, Ryan Palmer is very much in play. He's played pretty darn good at this golf course, T41, T4, T58, the last 3 years. But you also look at Ryan Palmer, and he finished the year better than I thought, T26, T27 at Houston and Mayakoba. There was some scuffling, though, as well. So he's an interesting one in tournaments at $7,800, especially if Steele is chalky. Get a little pivot off of that for sure. Aaron Rye ranks second in my model. He's fifth in the proximity numbers I'm looking at. He's 15th in bogey avoidance, 16th in fairways gain, 18th in par four. Never played here before. That concerns me a bit, but we'll see. But T16 at the RSM, T19 at Houston, T15 at Mayakoba. That's a good comp course. And T62 at Bermuda. Not a good result on a comp course. But that's three top 20s in his last three events. I could see the appeal if you want to go there. Not playing here before always is something I try to avoid, but he ranks out really well, so I will have some Aaron Rye. Not in love with it. I'd rather play more Joel Dahman. He's 12th on my model. I love Joel, what he's doing. So I'll go to him, but I'll have some Rye for sure. I think Keith Mitchell, the Bermuda specialist, is intriguing at 7,600. Tom Hoagie, he rates first in my proximity, first in opportunities gained, 18th in bogey avoidance, 23rd in DK scoring over the last nine rounds. He's 9th in my model. He'll be another guy. He finished out the year pretty strong, I believe. Yeah, T4 at RSM, T46, T56, 17th in his last four tournaments. And he scores a lot, like I said, in DK scoring. He's a big birdie guy. So he's intriguing. And I think that'll be about it for me in this range. Like, I always want to click on Brian Harman on courses this size, but he had such a bad ending of the season. I think I'll just be right. I'll be wrong on that one. 7K to 74. Who do you like?
I think Bradley and Griot. I mean, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on these two guys. If you know golf, you know these two guys. They're good ball strikers, terrible putters, but worth a jab, especially if you're playing a lot of lineups. You know, I would have a few with Keegan and Griot in there. Griot's never missed a cut here since 2016. He's made the cut every year. And Keegan's a little bit more sketch, but he does have a top, 12, and he finished 12th in 2020, missed the cut here last year. But let's talk about the disrespect for Stewart Cink at $7,200.
I appreciate it.
He's not missed a cut here since 2014. I don't have back further than that.
That's all I got.
19th and 20th the last 2 years. Obviously won last year, played last week at the Tournament Champions. He started strong and kind of, maybe it was climbing a mountain every day a couple times that kind of wore him down. Still finished 21st in that field. It's just not terrible at all whatsoever. But at $7,200, man, I feel like Stewart Cink should be like 50% owned. I'll be playing a lot of Stewart Cink.
I may be wrong, but didn't he win or finish very high at Harbortown last year? Isn't that the one he won? Or am I totally screwing that one up?
Won at the Heritage. Is that Harbortown?
That's Harbortown. Yeah. That's what I thought. Yeah. Perfect comp course. Ocean, short. It fits him beautifully. It's like, for a guy not having to, like you said, that course is one of the worst walks on the planet last week.
Yeah.
Now coming here, it'd be a lot nicer for him. A very accurate driver of the golf ball. And it's another one of those guys where it helps because these stats are so old and the end of the season, you're playing some of the toughest golf courses and the toughest tournaments on the planet. So his numbers look really bad. He's like 131st in my model. Like a lot of the numbers look horrible. But this is where like kind of overlooking some of that stuff, I think, is pretty clutch. So
the other thing is, I mean, he's like kept playing. You know, he went and played the PNC with his son.
Yep.
And then obviously last week. So to me, I don't know, man. Like at $7,200, I just like
I'm with you.
It's hard not to just put him in a lineup. I mean, because that opens up a lot up top. Mm-hmm. 7,100, Chad Ramey. The model likes him. Two straight missed cuts. I'm not really sure. He's never played here. Same thing with Alex Smalley. The issue is, I think, just the short-term stats. I am weighting long-term stats a lot more heavily, but Alex Smalley's another guy that model likes. He's coming off a missed cut, the RSM. He did have a couple of top 15s before that. So if you're liking some large field GPPs, a couple guys down there that you could check out.
Hey, this is a really fun range to differentiate in multi-entering, especially for the ownership game. Because I agree, Bradley and Griot, great tournament players. Probably a little more popular because people know them, for one. Especially Griot, he'll probably get talked about a ton this week because he's played great on these kind of courses, the shorter courses, the ocean courses. He's good in those respects, so I like that. But Denny McCarthy's interesting, coming in good form again. He had that good run, kind of fell apart. Well, he's heating back up again. 31st in my model, but first in bogey avoidance, second in greens and regs, second in par four scoring, 30th in fairways gained. It's always he's one of the better putters on tour too. It's just the iron play, the approach game. If he can hone that in, which he's kind of done a little bit more over the last couple of rounds, that could be a really good spot there for Denny McCarthy at 74. I think Adam Long is very interesting as well. One of the better putters on tour, 9th in DK scoring over the last 24 rounds, 11th in bogey avoidance. He's 7,300 and, he's coming in with a T16 at the RSM, T11 at Houston, T22 at Mayakoba, and T25 at the Zozo. So 25th or better in four straight tournaments for Adam Long. That gets my attention for sure. And the course history is not great, though. Missed cuts in his last two times being here. But I'll take that form right now with him at 73. Patton Kizzire's played great here. Great current, great course history, not great current form. So keep that in mind. One guy that's got a little bit of both, though, is Brian Stewart at 72. Fairways gained second in this field. So if you want the accuracy driver, he's your guy. Opportunities are there at 22nd in the field. So at $7,200, he's a guy you can look at. Then other than that, it's more just kind of taking shots. Like Henrik Norlander, Russell Knox is 8th in my model because he's first in greens and reg, 10th in fairway. Ball striking extraordinaire with Russell Knox. So I'm intrigued by him. Norlander's a good proximity guy. But they're down here for a reason, too. So don't go overweight, but I'll definitely be sprinkling in these guys. Like, if I had to, well, we'll pick our guys we like later. But I think they're all guys you can kind of circle in your multi-entering for sure. 6K range, who are you looking at?
Harry Higgs at 6,900. Two straight made cuts at this tournament, 32nd and 57th the last 2 years. More recently, missed cut RSM, but had made four straight cuts before that. Swafford at 6,800 hasn't missed a cut here since 2015. Hayden Buckley, my model likes him, 6,700. I don't know too awful much about that. He's never played here. Amato loves Nick Hardy. Just absolutely loves him. That's finished 14th here last year. Again, I'm heavily weighted on course history. And coming off a 63rd place finish at the RSM Classic, his last start, missed a cut before that, 26-36. So 6,600, Nick Hardy. Seifert at 6,600 as well. He did miss the cut last year, but 38th here the year before that. Model also likes Austin Smotherman. I don't know why. Never played here, but
I'll say that's not a course history one for sure.
Vaughn Taylor would be last but not least for me. 25th and 12th in his last two starts at this course. Two straight missed cuts before that 58th. Before that, two straight WDs. I mean, but you know, we're down here at $6,100. So
if you're looking at comp courses, Vaughn Taylor's the spitting image of these comp.
You would
courses,
think. So I mean, like the dude just hits it down the middle, and then he's like the old man. Like picture him like my grandpa.
He's won at Pebble. He's played great at Harbortown. Like, these are the courses you're looking at. He fits those molds. I get it. At 6,100, just make the cut. Maybe make a top 20-ish run. Not impossible to see.
Yeah.
So I'm not picking him to win. That's for damn sure. But
really, all you need at 6,100 is just a made cut. Yeah. Because I mean, that might be your sixth guy. That 100%. And then whatever he does on the weekend doesn't matter. Because, you know, six is six. This is, you know, we're at top 65 in ties.
Yep.
So. Yep. It's not been great. It wasn't last year. 66 percentage was, I mean, if it was over 5%, that was a hell of a week.
Which was good to see, though, because there was
with it.
Yeah, totally. There was a run there, Jesse, where it was like 35%, 66s. You just threw your hands in the air going, I have 66. It's not cashing now. This is ridiculous.
What the hell does it matter? Yeah, I'm with you.
So I'd rather have this tilt space where, you know, I enter my 20 max and I get like 1 6 of 6. We make a run. Let's go. So yeah. I'm all about that life for sure. That's kind of why I think last year I switched more to my 20 max. It's like I still use the same amount of money I'd use in a 3 max, but I just put it 20 max instead, and it became much more profitable by the end of the season. So we'll keep running that one out and see how it pays off. But for me in the 6K range, the main ones for me, Swafford, I'm with you there, 21st in my model, 7th in approach, ball striking guy, played well here, really, really well here, as you mentioned. So I like Swafford. I'm always a sucker for a cheap Mark Hubbard, $6,600, 7th in my model, 10th in approach, 4th in bogey avoidance, 12th in DK scoring. He gives himself opportunities all the time. He's a great greens and red guy as well. It's just a matter of, is the putter working or not? That's the question for any professional golfer. And Hubbard's one of those guys that can go super low if he gets that putter going. So him at 66, I like quite a bit down here. Other than that, it's more like the course history. Like Malnati's got good history here. The recent form's kind of sketch, but Peter Malnati, that is, he's got some good form. Austin Cook's playing rough golf, but he's played really, really well at this golf course, if you're fitting that. Similar to your Vaughn Taylor take, I went with Wesley Bryan. He's another guy, Harbortown, Pebble, these shorter courses. Wesley Bryan plays really, really well at these courses, and his past history here, T32 his last two times here. Again, at $6,200, we'll take that. Let's go. So I think he's a guy you can look at for sure, but that's about it for me down here in 6K. Definitely some options, though. All right, let's recap things real quick. Jesse, 10K and above, who's your number one? Because for once, it's like not as obvious going, hey, let's go John Rahm.
Yeah, Cam Smith.
Yeah, it's fair. I'm going to say Webb. It's going to be super chalky, but I'm going to say Webb's the best play here. I don't know if it's your best play overall, but it's your best play here. 9K range, who's your guy?
Kevin Na.
I'm going to go with Corey Connors in this one. 8K, who you got?
I'm going to say Horschel.
I like that. That could be sneaky, sneaky nice. I'm going to go Seamus Power in this range, 75 to 79.
Brendan Steele.
Yeah, I'm going to go Joel Dahman for me, 7K to 75.
Sink.
I like that a lot. I'm going to go, since you took Sink, I'm going to go Brian Stewart. Same price as Sink. And then 6K, who you got?
Nick Hardy.
That's wild. I'm going to go with Hubbard for sure. I want to know what your model's thinking, because I get it. Hardy's gone low. That's the ultimate GPP play for sure. So I can see that definitely happening. Since we're back to cut events, let's have a little fun here. If you're starting out a cash lineup, Jesse, who are three guys you'd use to start out?
Probably Henley.
That's safe.
Corey Connors, and then Steele.
I'd just to make it in the middle, and you guys can decide from there. I'll go with CH3, Brendan Steele, and Joel Dahmen. Now you can pick wherever you want to go from there. GPP, who are three guys you're using to start out?
Hardy, Smith, and Sink.
Yeah, that's good. You took the bottom side. Well, you took Smith with him. Okay. I'm going to go with it's going to be chalky, but I'm going to go with Seamus Power, Aaron Rye, and Mark Hubbard. Now, you could pick your big dogs from there. But those are some middle-of-the-pack people to look at. Jesse, I put the link to the Bovada in there because we're using that because DraftKings is down because no Bryson DeChambeau, unfortunately.
Let's double check right before.
Good call.
Did you see my text about FanDuel having odds up?
Yes, I did see that. But are they as good as DraftKings? Because DraftKings has amazing odds. Like, they're really good. Golf is back. Golf is back. Just in time for the show. Wait. No, it's not. There's a link for it, but it's not here. Oh. We're still blank, Jesse. So we can go with Bovada, or you can send me the FanDuel link.
No, actually, it's showing up for me on DraftKings.
It just showed up for me. It took a while to load. Okay, yep. We're good. Back to the best site, and we don't get paid for this again, but literally the best site to bet on, at least for golf odds. I'm a big fan of what they got here. So he like won this thing because Cam Smith's 8-1, which is bonkers. Not wrong, but bonkers.
Yeah, I wouldn't be putting money on Cam at 8-1. I do like a Stewart Cink top 10 at plus 700.
Cool, I like that.
Don't mind even, that quite a bit.
Even top 20 at plus 700.
Matt Jones at 45-1 to win is interesting to me. Just given how well he played last week, obviously different golf course, I understand that, but the dude fucking shot 62-61 on the weekend.
I mean,
it's like 2,200 par. It's just insane. So obviously playing very well. If it's windy, you know, the Aussies, we talk about this all the time. The Aussies play well in the wind. So
they all played well last weekend too.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
Yeah, like I like the odds. You mentioned
Steele Jones. At 80.
Steele's not bad. Usually longer shots win here, so it's I like the Steele call. I could get behind a Kisner rebound at 35. If you think he figured it out, get him now before it gets crazy. It's still a high number for him. Dahmen at 50 is interesting. That Steele at 80 is really good, though. That's really good. Not bad at all. I think
The guy's finished top five the last 2 years is plus 1,400, you know, so.
Yeah, that's not for top bad. Five. Yeah, I think that's a really good top five. I think, but like top 20, we got some good numbers here. If you really like Sink even at plus 330, there's a lot to like there, I think. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rye, we talked about as a top 20 machine, he's plus 330. If you go to like even lower odds, your boy Nick Hardy is there at plus 400 if you think he's going to make some noise. But Hubbard at plus 400 at top 20, I'm a fan of that, so. I'll bite some of that.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely some fun stuff here. I'd recommend checking. So you can go top 40. Your odds aren't going to be great, but like you can get Cam Smith minus 400 to top 40. Like just make the cut, Cam. But that's crazy odds. Do not make that bet, people. Please do not make that bet. I'm just being sarcastic by looking at that. But even Von Taylor at plus 250 to top 40. I think if he makes the cut, he probably makes a top 40 run.
Yeah.
So. You can definitely have some fun getting like they're not crazy high odds, but you can still make some plus money. And in the end, that's all that matters. So have fun with that. But any final thoughts, Jesse, as we wrap up the Sony Open?
I don't, man. It's another more primetime golf. So it's good fun stuff.
Yeah. Primetime golf, 144 golfers made cut after Friday, as Jesse said, T65 and ties. So lots of fun stuff coming up for us there. And as usual, it's weekly golf thing. Once again, we're backing at it. So we'll be back to you guys next week with another preview of the week on the PGA Tour. But for now, check out Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods, the podcast at Always Press DFS. I am Matt B. Dientrich. Good luck, everybody. Catch you guys next time.